It's probably the end of your school year. You've got a tween asking, "Am I done yet?" before you've even finished your coffee. And you might be standing there thinking, "Did they actually learn anything this year? Are they ready for what's next? Or did we just survive another round of busy work?" It might have felt like you did a bunch of busy work. You're not failing them. But if you're feeling stuck in this space between doing too much for them and not quite enough for them, this is the week for you. In the next few minutes, I'm going to walk you through three ways to hand off more learning to your tween without letting go completely. So if you are at the end of your year and you're wrapping things up, tuck this in the back of your brain for next year. It will be helpful. You're going to learn how to help them self-correct, problem solve, and build the kind of confidence that actually sticks. So they don't need you to hold their hand every step of the way. You don't have to sit beside them in order for them to get their work done. I'm Marina Joy. I have homeschooled for 11 years. We have been through those hard middle school years, and that's where this 12-week homeschool challenge was born. I finally stopped trying to do all of the things and started teaching in a way that gave my kids ownership. And now I want to help you be able to do the same. It is so freeing. So I invite you to join me right now. Here we go. If you haven't joined the 12-week homeschool challenge yet, you can start anytime. There will be a link in the comments, either below or to the side. And I'll tell you more about what's inside at the end of the video. But know right now, this is the kind of shift that makes homeschool feel more grounded and less reactive. You know what I'm talking about. If you have homeschooled for any length of time, if you are new, you're in a great place. This is a great place to start. Now, if you're joining me live, drop a hashtag live below. And if you're catching this on the replay, type hashtag replay. I'd love to know that you're watching. And curious, have you ever let your tween check their own work? Have you ever let your tween check their own work? And did it help or did it make you feel like everything was just about to fall apart? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. What it looks like to actually sort of take off the training wheels without watching the whole thing crash. Maybe you remember teaching your kid to ride a bike and they had those training wheels. And the training wheels, of course, the bike was kind of wobbly, but there was always that wheel to catch you on either side as they were wobbling down and learning how to ride their bike. But eventually, those training wheels need to come off. Eventually, your kid probably said, "Ah, I don't want the training wheels on anymore. I'm ready to ride the two-wheeler on my own." And that's what's happening in those middle school years. They're not saying those words specifically, obviously, but that same idea. They went from the elementary years, where you're telling them every single thing they need to do, and now they're like, "I need a little more independence. Can we take off a training wheel? And then can we take off the other one?" It doesn't have to happen all at once. But eventually, you want them riding independently. That is the goal, and that's why we're here. So, number one, let them mark their own work. You know those answer keys? You get the curriculum, you've got the answer key. Brilliant. When your tween has done the work, this is the key. They got to do the work first. And then they come to you and say, "Okay, I'm ready for the answer key." So this requires a little bit of trust, and initially they might do really sloppy work because then they get the answer key and they figure they'll just change out the answers to whatever's in the answer key, and yes, I did my work. Let it go. It's okay. It's part of the process. And you might think, "Ah, but then they're not going to learn." They will. It is part of the process. But we need to set the guidelines. So we're going to do page 27. When you're finished page 27, come and get the answer key. for page 27 and go ahead and mark that. Now, at first it's going to be really novel and then it will just be normal. But what's going to happen is they're going to see patterns. Nobody likes getting everything wrong. So as they are marking, you know, they've got their book and they've got the answer key. They're like, this is awful. I got 5 out of 10. What did I do wrong? There's that natural curiosity. Like, I want to win. And winning is check marks. So intrinsically, they're going to start to say, how can I win? How can I get more check marks? And because this isn't you giving them X, 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 wrong, 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 they are taking ownership. And what they might figure out is, oh, I read that number wrong. Oh, I didn't see that word in the instruction. That's why I got that wrong. And they're going to start to piece it together. Or they might say, I had no idea about that one. Of course I got it wrong. And that is something important to recognize as well. And that is how they take ownership. And they're starting to see themselves as capable learners. They're not just passive students. They're not just doing this for you. All of a sudden, they're taking some ownership of that. Now, number two, we want to use that answer key as a tool, not just a scorecard. Okay, I got 5 out of 10, 7 out of 10. Oh, I got 10 out of 10. Fabulous. But after they've, you know, put the check marks and X's, then you use that answer key as a teaching tool. Now, the one caveat here is sometimes answer keys have incorrect answers. And I know we have worked backwards on questions. We're like, what? How did they come to this answer? And then I realized that the curriculum publisher put out a page with, oh, whoops, we made these mistakes in the book. So always make sure to look for that. But also, if your tween is challenging an answer in the answer key, that's not a bad thing because they need to prove, okay, well, why were they right? They're going to have to think through step by step how they got to their answer and why their answer is correct and why the answer key, why they think the answer key is wrong, and then walk them through it. Is it wrong? I know a couple of times my daughters pointed out things that were wrong in the answer key, and sure enough, I was like, oh, good catch. So don't think that just because they say the answer key is wrong, that they are wrong. Okay, so if when they mark their work, say they got 5 out of 10, so maybe they don't understand the concept as well as they could yet. No problem. This is a learning environment. That's why we're here. Then you're going to take that answer key, take one of those questions and go, all right, here's the answer. Here's what I got. How did they get to this answer? Now, I'm thinking math specifically. They often have it worked out how they arrived at that answer. Or sometimes the answer on it on its own will be an indication of where you went wrong when you're figuring out the question. So this is a great thinking exercise for them to look at. Here's what was the answer. Here's what I had. Okay, let's look at the question again. How do would I get to that answer? Work it backwards. How do I get there? And then when they have that kind of question again, they'll go, oh yeah, I remember last time I did this part wrong and that got me the wrong answer. And they're going to remember because they took ownership and they worked it through. And even if out of those 5 that they did wrong, they corrected one of them, they worked backwards on one of them, that is significant learning. Take the win. They're taking ownership. Fabulous. That is what we want. The third thing, we are going to focus on the process. So we're not focusing on perfection. They don't need to finish. Are you ready? Every page in the book. They don't need to finish every page. They don't need to finish every question. Do not be a slave to the workbook. In week one of the homeschool challenge, we talked about what is your goal? Where are you headed? What outcomes are you looking for your child? Where are they going? Okay, so then if that is the case, we know this is where they're going. What do they need to know when they get there to be successful? Now we look at the workbook and we go, huh, all right, they got 7 out of 10. They worked back a question, they understand it. At what point can we just move on? Do we really need to drill another 20 questions? Or is that just going to be breaking the momentum, breaking the spirit, turning into drudgery, and not about learning? But in order to do that successfully, you need to set a standard. So I'm just thinking about how we did this when we were going through some of these things. And so we set a standard. We looked at what is the child capable of? Is this a subject that they excel at? So maybe they need to get 90% and then they can move on because getting 90% is reasonable. If, for example, it is math and they are not fabulous math students, perhaps it's get 70% and move on. That's not giving up. We don't have to go to 100%. 70% might be fine. And then what happens as their brain grows and develops, and over time, as they have these concentric circles of learning, they learn this at 70%, they're going to visit those concepts again. Almost guaranteed. And when they do, they'll have new experiences that they can add and bring to the next layer of problems. And it will help them expand their knowledge and do better. But you need to decide what is the cutoff? What is the definition of done? So you might say, well, when you get 70% for three math, three of these quizzes on this topic in a row, then we can move on to the next thing. Gives them a goal. And they're going to be marking their work and they go, oh, I got 6 out of 10. Shucks, how can I get 7 out of 10? Then it becomes this competition with themselves, and you don't have to keep saying, no, we're going to keep going. We need to do more of these, more of these. And then you become like the taskmaster. Instead, when you give them the percentage goal, you talk it through, agree on it, then they take ownership of that. They strive for that. And they become a little bit more intrinsically motivated because they know, oh, once I get 70% on this, I can move on. So, how can I get there as fast as possible? So, I'd like to know in the comments, which one of these are you going to try? Letting them mark their work, working backwards from the answer, or picking that percentage that gives them permission to move on once they've got it. I'd love to know what you're experimenting with. Type it in the comments. Let me know. Now, if this feels like this is the kind of encouragement and support you need, come join the 12-week homeschool challenge. The link is in the comments below. Each week, so this is week 8, we've got 4 more weeks. No fluff, no overwhelm, just clear direction. So you can get some of these philosophies and ideas in place so you can run your own 12-week homeschool cycle. So start with this one thing where you are giving them the answer key, helping them work backwards, giving them a percentage that they're, what is their goal? That's taking off the training wheels, helping them be more independent, in their learning, helping them take ownership. And you're going to find your stress goes down. And they're going to be a lot happier too. All right. Let me know in the chat what you're planning on doing. Would love to hear it. And until next time, keep talking with your tween.